You're listening to Morning Edition. I'm Grant Gerlach with NET News. The life of a farmer is rarely easy. There are weeds to deal with, and insects, and Mother Nature, and global markets that govern whether you make a profit or not. A new book follows the ups and downs of farm life in eastern Nebraska. It's called This Blessed Earth, A Year in the Life of an American Family Farm. Ted Genoese is the author, and he's here to talk about it for today's signature story from NET News. Thanks for being here, Ted.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why don't we start by meeting the cast of this story? Tell me about Rick and Heidi and Megan and Kyle and why you spent a year following this farm family.
Sure. So Rick is sort of the patriarch of the family, though the land that he's farming in York County, Nebraska, is really his wife's family's land. They've been on that land since the 1870s, and so Rick's kids are the sixth generation on the land, and he's got four kids who are slowly sort of making their way back to the farm. And Megan is the first of those to come back and really spend full time on the farm. Over the course of the book, she's completing her courtship with Kyle, who's now her husband, and as of now, they also have their first child, the seventh generation.
I thought it was interesting that Megan Hammond told you that she had never planned to go back to the farm. Let's hear how she put it in an interview that you did with her.
When I was in high school, I was sure that I was never coming back to this place. Never going to scoop any more poop in the barn, never going to sort cows again in my life, that I was done. And after 4 or 5 years in Omaha, I'm back. And it's good to be back to help my mom and dad.
So why did Megan come back?
So Megan's reasons for coming back are pretty complicated and tough. They're certainly one of the reasons is that Megan, when she went away or was preparing to go away for college, really thought of herself as sort of moving away from the farm and moving out into the wider world. At the same time, her high school boyfriend, her boyfriend at the time, went to Iraq and was killed in Iraq. And so
he was in the military.
He was, yes. And so for Megan, I think the farm became a place to return to and heal some. And it was also then this place that she was able to connect with Kyle as Kyle was doing work for Rick on the farm, and she sort of found her way through that grief and through that hard time by returning to the place that had always sustained her family.
Doing the farm work that she thought she didn't want to do anymore.
That's right.
One of the trends of this latest farm downturn has been the amount of debt that farmers have taken on. USDA predicts the farm debt could reach nearly $390 billion this year, and that would be the most since the 80s farm crisis. Debt seems to be something that's always in the back of Rick Hammond's mind. Here's what he told you about it.
No matter how good it looks on a family farm, there's still a lot of stress. And when you build a farm and the ground is very expensive, well, you get into long-term debt. And so then there's always that monkey on your back that, oh, I got to produce. I got to make this work.
How has debt influenced the way that Rick Hammond runs his farm?
Well, not just Rick, but I think every farmer always has an eye on that debt and always has the farm crisis somewhere in the back of their mind. So many of the farmers who are working now, the land that they acquired came from farmers who didn't make it through the farm crisis. I'm always struck listening to the Hammonds and to anyone talk about their ground. They almost always refer to it by the name of whoever
farmer.
Yeah, whoever they acquired it from. And there's a kind of ghost geography that exists that the farmers see, and that always seems to be informing their decisions. They don't want somebody with a different last name to be referring to their ground as, you know, the old Hammond place. And so in order for that not to become a reality, you always have to be mindful of what that debt is and how you're managing that debt at the same time that you're that you're not wanting to be so conservative that you're not taking advantage of opportunities when they appear that might help dig out of that hole.
The Hammond family is, they've tried some organic farming. They tried some grass-fed beef, and it didn't go all that well for them. Yeah. The kinds of practices that they might think consumers want just didn't work out the way they had hoped. So where does that leave them thinking about, you know, this relationship between consumers and farmers?
I think it's a complicated relationship, and I think the Hammonds, like many farmers, feel under scrutiny. They feel criticized by a lot of the people who ideally would be natural allies of theirs. I mean, the sorts of people who are going to pay a premium for grass-fed beef, or who are going to be looking for a product that was grown from organic white corn, those are the sorts of people who should be trying to form alliances with farmers like the Hammonds. And I think one of the things that the people who are sort of the proponents of the food revolution really have failed to do and need to do going forward is listen to farmers, listen to the obstacles that they face, and then be aware of what sort of influences need to be exerted in order to reshape the market. I think a lot of people are under the impression that they can change the food system by what they buy at the grocery store. And it's really not that simple. If they really want to change the food system, it's got to be about regulation. It's got to be about incentives that are built into the system. And for that to happen requires much broader changes than can happen just through consumer habits.
After spending all this time with Rick Hammond and his family, what did you learn about what it means to be a good farmer?
Well, I think that good farmers are the people who really care about the land in all of its facets. The thing that I guess I admire most about Rick is that he's not someone who just cares about the land in a way that it how many bushels per acre it's producing. He knows the history of the place, both in terms of his wife's family and the history that preceded that. Rick has a great interest in the Native American history that went before and really even, you know, the deep geologic history. And a sense, I think, then that, you know, that you're a steward of something that's really ancient. And that puts a great deal of pressure on you not to just pump out the aquifer in a year when there's a drought, or to overplant when prices are high. That you have to be always trying to keep one eye on the future. And now that he doesn't just have the next generation, but you know, a grandchild on the land. I think, you know, you can see the sort of the tangible outcome of that he has in fact preserved a place that generations to come can still live and farm.
Ted Genoways wrote the upcoming book, This Blessed Earth, A Year in the Life of an American Family Farm. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for having me.